All right, hello there. Welcome to part two of our debate, Is Religion Dangerous? We've got Danny from England, Luke from Milwaukee, Scott from out in California somewhere, and me. I'm in La Crosse, Wisconsin, St. Johnny, a.k.a. Tony, whatever you want. and we have a chat dialogue here, which is good. And we now have part one already up on the Radio Portal page, and it does have good sound quality, even if the radio broadcast itself didn't, so that's good. So we're going to get right back into it, and I'm going to take the start here, and I've got a little clock now, so I can keep track of my own time, since the timer doesn't seem to affect me with my admin powers. So, a couple of things. You know, it is hard when you don't have several days to work through an issue and only have 30 minutes or so. First, I want to sort of clarify my point about the moral code. And now, I actually brought this up earlier and it just sort of got maybe passed over a little bit. So it wasn't like I brought it up later to try to hoist it on anyone. Just my point is that you're attaching some sort of moral overtone to some of these things that are deemed as dangerous. And okay, so no, you don't have. We're not going to sit down and establish what the universal moral code is right now that we can all share. But I think kind of my point is, in the first place, I didn't realize that atheism could hold a universal moral code. And still be a valid position. But okay, there's that. But on the other hand, leaving that aside, all I'm saying is that you're gonna have to do that somewhere. You can't just decline to produce that. And so let me talk a little bit about dogma, because it seems that look at my clock here. I got 30 seconds or so. You know, for example, the Roman Catholic idea of dogma, it just comes on down and no one's allowed to question it. And, you know, not only would I say within the Christian context, that's not a good idea. It doesn't, just because it's transmitted that way, doesn't mean that there aren't sometimes good reasons for it as well. Sexuality is something that's, you know, pleasurable and dangerous. You know, and it still involves people. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm totally willing to allow this idea that religion is dangerous. I'm willing to... I seem to have gone over my time. Nuts. Well, I'm sure that I'm going to risk being mischaracterized to no end and not to blame anyone. It's just the format, right? But here, I relinquish the mic.
Okay, I promise not to, or at least to try not to mischaracterize you. I won't address the second half of what you're saying because I feel that you weren't finished. So I'm just going to try to... you said... you keep mentioning that atheists... you say, well, there's a problem because atheists don't have a universal moral code. Or you said something about atheists do have a... or have to apply a universal moral code. The idea of a universal moral code, I think, is distinct to religion or theism. I don't believe that morality is universal or objective. I do believe that most of society would agree with me on one idea or another, and you know, we vary from person to person on the small things. You said earlier that you made a statement earlier that struck me as interesting. You said when you were doing the gun analogy, you said that you can shoot a gun at a tree and it doesn't cause harm. Why do you think that? You shoot a tree and a twig falls off or a branch falls off, or you've created a hole in a tree, you did cause harm. You caused harm to the tree. I'm using that to illustrate that when I use the word harm, I'm not making a moral statement. If a Jehovah's Witness decides not to take a certain medication because they believe God doesn't want them to, and they die, that's a fact that they died. Harm was caused to their body. just as harm was caused to the tree. I'm not making some sort of moral judgment. It is true that the belief in the religion, when taken too seriously, affected that person's body physically. It caused harm to it. And that was my point.
I want to quickly address the idea of dogmatism that we brought up before, especially in the context of religion being taught to children as harmful. Now, I think there's two different things between dogmatism and religion, per se. We can talk about religious dogmatism, but we can also talk about non-religious dogmatism, like atheistic dogmatism. Dogmatism usually refers to the idea of not willing to consider alternatives, or basically thinking that you have the end-all be-all of any argument. And dogmatism in and of itself, I think most people would agree, is wrong, right? That we should be able to consider other sides of other arguments. And I would say that Christians generally would try to, at least I would hope, that they would embrace this as well. Otherwise, Tony and I wouldn't be sitting here right now trying to discuss these topics. Now, if a religious worldview is taught to children, and it's true, right, and the religious worldview is true, then it's right, right? Then they should be taught that. They should not be taught in a dogmatic way. They should be able to allow to measure it and seek it out for themselves at some point or other. But I think if we've got the truth, if the world is round, then you should probably teach your children that it is round, right? We do this with all kinds of other worldviews or other kinds of facts as well. If it's true or we believe it's true, we're going to teach that to our children. So I don't think that teaching religion to children in and of itself is a harm unless we can, again, come up with some type of way in which religion is particularly dangerous as opposed to other worldviews that we don't 100% all agree on. And what was the other issue that was brought up by Scott? Oh, there was something about dying. I forget what that is. I'm going to pass the mic.
Okay, so we can agree perhaps that dogma is dangerous. That's good. That's good. We're getting somewhere there. But I don't think we're taking it away from religion as far as perhaps you'd like, Luke, because to me that's like trying to evade the issue of saying that guns are dangerous by saying, well, it's actually the bullet flying through the air and you know, piercing your flesh that's dangerous. And yeah, you can't fault it, can you? But it has to be said that the two things are closely associated with each other. And I would say that's the same with religion and dogmatism. You're right, it's a great thing that religious guys like Tony and yourself are able to question your beliefs, and that's a good thing about our society. It wasn't a good thing about our society a couple of hundred years ago. People were put on trial for questioning the tenets of the authorized religion, and in many parts of the world they still are, not necessarily put on trial, but certainly stoned, imprisoned, executed, or have their lives made less happy in even more inventive ways than that. Moving on from that, I want to introduce some terminology here. I want to introduce the term dissonance, which is something that I learned in my first year at university when I was doing a split major with philosophy and psychology. Dissonance is a conflict of two beliefs that you hold, or between your beliefs and the outside world, and it causes a great deal of discomfort and alarm. In the situation where you are taught to believe something from a child, and then you discover that perhaps it's not quite as true. You might read in Revelations possibly that homosexuals are dogs and are you know, condemned to burn in hell. And then you meet someone, you get older, and you find that actually they're kind of nice people, and you wonder why they deserve that. You get dissonance, and people resolve it in different ways. Unfortunately, a lot of people resolve it by going away from reality. And I would say that that's at the root of the trend of anti-intellectualism and irrationality that we're seeing in a lot of spheres of public life at the moment. This dissonance is causing people to go away from reality, and a brief example of that, because I think I must be running out of time, is the way that representatives of the Catholic Church in Africa have insisted that condoms have holes in them which let the HIV virus through. They have found a dissonance and they have gone with their religion because it's what they've been taught from the age of that they were able to take in such ideas, that it was the absolute truth. Religion teaches absolute truth. And so when there's dissonance, people often abandon reality for the religion. Tony.
Oh, yeah. We'll just take our 10-item list here. The first objection here, no one, Luke did not say, and I don't even think that that I would say that dogma is necessarily dangerous. It's another one of those things that can be dangerous, but what we are saying is dogmatism is unhealthy. That and it isn't even a matter of questioning the beliefs, but rather evaluating this belief or that belief or all beliefs and being able and allowed to do so and discuss them. And I think that we would agree is healthy. And one of my concerns with that is that Scott tried to sort of make it sort of sterilize the concept of danger down to, the twig that falls off the tree, it was harmed. Well, that's kind of I kick a pebble, it goes down the road. If there was a concern about, the religionists here trying to define themselves out of the problem, I mean, that's defining yourself out of the problem. My central point, and I'd be more than happy to discuss some of these upper level concepts of danger. What would make the Roman Catholic view in Africa dangerous? I'm happy to talk about that, but I don't want to lose sight of the fact that when it's all said and done, it is always people that are doing these things, and I would appreciate the attempt. I would like to see this made. Can you describe any of these things that are perceived as dangerous without at the same time incorporating the human agent? Because if it's the human agent that's at the cause of all of this stuff, then our problem runs a lot deeper than religion. The problem is with humans in general, and humans in particular. And then the question might be, well, which worldview better accommodates the fact that humans are dangerous, harmful, unhealthy, and do nasty things? All right, here we go.
Johnny, are you actually trying to argue that Danny and I need to come up with an example of how religion by itself, by its theoretical, unphysical self, maybe a Bible fell on somebody's head? Is that what would, do it for you? I mean, how exactly are we supposed to address this without addressing people? Religion applies to people. Religion is about people. That's the whole point. It governs people. It gives direction to people. It's a rule book. It's a guideline for people. It does not exist in and of itself, and without consciousness, without the human mind, religion would not exist. You need people to believe in the religion for the religion to exist. And I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's people. It's synonymous. I think you trying to separate those two is going to run us into the ground in circles. Danny just said on the thing, we all know what dangerous is. We all know what religion is. When we say that religion is dangerous, we're saying that a good way to test it would be if we took religion completely out of the picture, could the same harm be done? So, there's a way to test it. I mean, I'm going to go broad here, and I should probably be going specifically. No, I'll go specifically. Would the Jehovah's Witness still be alive if they didn't have that religion? If they didn't believe that, okay, how's this? Believing in religion is dangerous. Adhering to religion is dangerous. Can we all agree on that? Should we make the debate about that then? Would that, get us through the loophole? if the Jehovah's Witness did not believe or adhere to the religion, they would still be alive and not dead on a hospital bed because they refused an operation.
I'm going to have to support Johnny on this. We do have to separate the idea of dogmas from religion, right? Because you can't have such a thing as a communist dogma, right? Cambodian Khmer Rouge dogma, something where you don't give in to another worldview, and atrocities happen from that just as much. And someone can have dissonance from a Cambodian dogma that's been instilled from them at some point just as much as a Christian can. So I think dissonance comes with every worldview, and to say, if we're going to try to put that just with religion, I think that's going down the wrong path. Just about every worldview at some point you're going to have dissonance with, unless you have some type of worldview, I suppose, that is completely soundproof. So I think we do have to talk about the human agent at some point, because it is the human agent that is behind whether or not religion is being used dogmatically, right, as something that's evil, or religion is being used in a measured way where you get to hear things out. Then you did mention the idea, if religion was taken out of the picture, right, could the same atrocities still happen? And I'm not too sure what you're referring to with that last example, but I could entertain the idea that if religion was taken out of the picture, if people did not believe in religion, I would have to say that a lot of the same things would still happen. And to back this up, I would say that all the historical atrocities that you could list that religion caused, you have equally as number of religious atrocities or non-religious atrocities that are started. And again, then we're just going to get back to listing a bunch of atrocities, and I think that could go to no end as well. So I'll pass the mic again at this point.
Yeah, hey Dan, did you see how I jumped in ahead of you there? That's pretty clever, wasn't it? You know what I'm trying to get at here is that my point is that people, whether they are religious or non-religious, they're still going to do nasty things. Now, Luke talked about the atrocities. We've talked about atrocities. We've got five out of 2 million Jehovah Witnesses that have done this whole blood transfusion thing, very high up on the scale of things. Did you read the story? It was a couple weeks ago now, where the guy down in New Orleans was angry with his girlfriend because she was going to kick him out of the apartment. And so you know what he did? He ate her. Seriously, yeah, he killed her and he ate her, and then he jumped off of a building and left a note. Now, this is not religiously motivated. I looked at a couple of accounts because I had this our thing here in mind. This is just a nasty thing. He didn't do it because he was an atheist. He didn't do it because he was religious. Now, I don't want to be accused here. I'm not against eating by any means. I think eating is a good thing, and I understand that we can't talk about eating without also involving people. But that's really my point. It's not, to me, it's not worth going head over heels into a debate on is religion dangerous until we talk about what empowers, what gives the real thrust to what makes anything in religion dangerous. What, if we found something in atheism, actually, I don't want to say atheism, but let's say in some of what Richard Dawkins has said about child abuse, he's got some dangerous ideas there, but it's the person. People have got to carry it out. Now, if that means, and I hold my breath here, if that means that we must embrace something like the doctrine or dogma of original sin because it's the only thing that makes sense to the world, it's not really my problem. Yeah, Danny wants to talk.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we probably all agree that people do dangerous things. We all know this. And they will choose different reasons for doing those dangerous things, those unhelpful and unpleasant things to each other. And, you know, they'll probably choose what they grew up with. So someone growing up in a communist, atheistic society who wants to do unpleasant things to people will choose the prevailing ideology, right? We can agree on that. And to be honest, I would be quite happy if we wanted to define religion, regardless of God or whatever, as just some sort of controlling worldview that justifies atrocities, because that's what we seem to be coming down to at the end of the day. You know, I liked your little story, Tony, and I prepared one myself. There's a guy called Spencer, George Spencer, who lived in Connecticut during during the time when the Puritans were big, and he was an unlucky guy in so many ways. He lost an eye in an accident. And some years after this, a pig was born in the village that had one eye. And because these people didn't particularly understand the methods of hereditary, George Spencer, poor guy, he was blamed for this. He was accused of bestiality with the pig's mother, and he was put on trial for this. And the guy initially confessed out of fear. He may or may not have been coerced slightly into confessing, which leads on to a conversation that Tony and I are having at the moment. But the elders of the village were so eager to convict him that they took his recanted testimony and the pig's testimony and executed him. This is a very good example of what people will do when they believe very firmly in something they've been brought up to believe, which doesn't necessarily fit in with the evidence, but it's amazing how they can make it fit, you know? I may have rambled off my point there. I just love that story so much. Okay, Scott, you go. You may have something more cogent to say.
Oh, crap. I was so into your story, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, God. No pun intended. What was I going to say? What was Johnny just saying? Somebody remind me. What did Johnny just say? Johnny said something. Luke said something. I'm going to pass off to Mike. This is pitiful. I'm sorry.
I got to remember that I got to unmute myself. Apparently, if I don't do that, they can still hear me through my own mic. Okay. That was a lovely story, Danny. But what is it really showing? I mean, you still have people at work doing nasty things, and you still got some sort of a moral code, some sort of universal one that you expect us to react to. Well, okay, this idea here of I'm getting this idea that there is sort of a lurking definition to religion underneath all of this that's really not being stated. And I think, Danny, I think you sort of let the secret out of the bag when you said, you know, I'm willing to agree that any worldview that justifies atrocity is, you know, basically a religion. You know, that's our definition. Religion has done an awfully lot of good things. You know, there's an awful lot of St. Mary's hospitals and lots of schools and you know, things of that sort. So it isn't all that bad. And I think it's sort of there's this connection between a belief that is believed and actually carried out that is going to be dangerous in any sort of way. I think I want to sort of turn this a little bit. We've been focusing on religion. Let's talk about the danger part, because to me it doesn't seem that danger is necessarily always bad. You know, I asked my wife, I proposed, and there was a risk that she could have said no, and I could have had long-term psychological damage in that inquisition there, and she didn't. But there was a danger there. I could have had my feelings hurt, you know, etc. I'm being mocked. Yes, it was a big risk. But the point is, what I'm getting at here is that there are certain things which are dangerous, which may involve some sort of a harm of some kind, but that you just gotta do it anyway. And in fact, it would be more dangerous by some estimates to not do it. Now, it so happens that some of the principles that might be kind of underneath that, oh, my son has joined me. You know, you find those principles stretching their legs within religion too. And to say that it is religion dangerous, my fear is that it comes across as pejorative before it's really clarify exactly what all the terms mean. I hate to get definitional, but Luke, that's the handoff.
Oh, is Luke gone? Where did Luke go? Oh, I thought I was... That's weird. All right. I don't understand, Johnny, what you're saying by religion is good, dangerous. I know you're giving an example of it, and I've heard you mention it before tonight. I don't understand how religion is good, what the good, danger... It seems like you're talking about apples and oranges, and I don't get the correlation. To answer your question, you want to talk about the danger, how religion is dangerous, and you want to get specific to how it applies to the... how it's the religion's fault and not the people's fault. If you... you're thinking that we're saying that people are good before religion came along. No, we're not, or at least I'm not arguing that religion makes anybody angry or violent or bad or evil or a sinner or anything like that. I'm saying that, yes, people are bad. People do what they do. Some people are good, and some people live fine lives. But the people that are going to hurt are going to hurt. However, there are things that stop them from wanting to hurt. For example, things like law, things like common sense, things like love for one another. Religion alters that. Religion steps in the middle of all that and makes things messy. A guy who believes that he is righteous and justified in hurting... When I was in high school, I got my ass kicked all the time. Why? Because I was an atheist. And people thought that they were defending Jesus by hurting me. If they didn't have religion, if that subject never came about, my butt would not be bruised. Religion serves as a means for justifying harm, and I think in that way it is harmful. I'm running out of time. I wanted to go more into depth on that, but I'll have to settle for that.
Okay, so we're identifying the issues that drive us here. If the Christian side of the debate is interested in using this for ammunition, I recently had a breakup from a Christian girl who I quite liked, pretty much on the basis of difference of opinion when it came to the matter of God. I'm confessing my underlying agenda here, but beyond that, I. The idea of danger being good, danger can be good. Danger can make things interesting. But I'm feeling that you're talking there about personal danger rather than danger for other people. I don't know if this is helpful at all, but some recent studying I've done has brought to light some things about Africa. I'm studying for a course at the moment on tropical nursing, and it's involved a lot of in-depth looking at what causes people to be well or unwell in developing countries. The thing that correlates best in studies they do, particularly in Africa, with health of the child, health of the mother, health in general, is education. Education is far and away the biggest single thing you can do for someone to make them and their family live longer. What religion in the same situation tends to correlate with is some very nasty repressive practices, particularly things relating to the repression of women, female genital mutilation, bride burnings, other kinds of dowry deaths, complete subjugation of the female, who I'm in favor of, as a general rule. Any original... sorry, Tony's asking me a question on the chat board here. Religion in general, the religion in question in terms of bride burnings and female genital mutilation would largely be Islam, but we are talking about religion here, not just your religion, aren't we? I'll hand over to Luke.
Yeah, so I guess this is kind of revolving around whether or not we should define religion as that which justifies atrocities. This was originally the definition that Danny brought up quite a while ago. And I'm going to say that one can justify an atrocity if one wants to with just about any worldview. And the idea that religion is going to be specifically the special means with which to justify atrocities, that just doesn't hold any water, because we can imagine other situations where other worldviews, non-religious worldviews, can justify atrocities. I don't want to entertain the idea of how one could justify genital mutilation under other circumstances, but we've got plenty of other circumstances where other dogmatic worldviews, communism of course is one of the big ones, where they justify extremely evil atrocities. And so I just don't think we're getting anywhere with the idea that religion is the thing that justifies atrocities, when there's plenty of things that we use to justify atrocities whenever we want to justify an atrocity. Which I think brings it back again to the idea that human nature is the chief means by which religion becomes a dangerous thing. And I think clearly there's a good dangerous and a bad dangerous. I tried to go into this with a little bit of detail on my opening statement. But just again, all the heroes, all the great people that we love, all the great TV stars, all the great movie stars that we love, all the people that we hold up as ideal are generally dangerous people. If you list them off, I mean, Batman, Superman, William Wallace, the guy from Gladiator, name whoever you want. These are extremely dangerous, deadly individuals, right? And you could throw a couple women in there too if you wanted, Kill Bill and Joan of Arc, right? Dangerous people. And they could do a lot of damage, but we root for them because they do a lot of good with that potential for danger. And we see this in social situations as well. Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi have both been considered extremely dangerous people, but they're dangerous in a good way. So I think there are two different ways of talking about danger, at least in the way that we colloquially use the terminology. If we want to use danger as the potential to do harm, then yeah, there are good things that are dangerous. So that's my two points again. We can justify just about any atrocity with any worldview if we want to, especially if we come at it with a dogmatic point of view, which we can with non-religion dogmatic views. And there are definitely good, dangerous things. Look at Fonzie, right, from Happy Days. He's good, dangerous. The Fonz.
Yeah, and, you know, to piggyback on what Luke said there, not only can people justify an atrocity over any worldview, but they don't need to justify it for any reason sometimes. I mean, do you really think that there's a clear connection between getting kicked out of your apartment and eating the person? I don't really think so. I doubt that was a real justification. I think they're probably just sick. And we could multiply examples like that, things that don't rise to the level of atrocity, but still rack up a pretty good rape and murder list pretty quickly. I think if I could try to distill what my point is, and I think Luke agrees with me, is that, okay, now, we've got this question out there, is religion dangerous? And for Scott and Danny, it's a no-brainer. You know, it's really a slam dunk. It's religion, does some dangerous things, some terrible things, boom, case closes, yes. But I think what I'm trying to get at here is whether or not, when we ask the question, is religion dangerous, are we asking a question that's really meaningful? I mean, how is it non-trivial if everything is dangerous, if anything is dangerous, because always at the very bottom of everything you've got people acting on their own interests and their own justifications for whatever reason they may invoke. To say that religion is dangerous is, you know, kind of a meaningless redundancy. And this gets back into what Luke sort of opened up on, was this idea, you know, how can we understand this question in a way that sort of distinguishes this, that religion is in a sort of a separate category. As yet, I have not seen that. All I have seen so far are two things. One, sort of an objection to dogmatism, but I haven't seen the response to, well, what if the dogma's right? You know, we dogmatically say that the earth is spherical or whatever, but, you know, no one objects to that particular dogma. I know that opens the begs the question about these dogmas, but I mean, what if? And then the other one being what Danny Boy said about, you know, raising kids to view things certain ways before they're equipped to deal with them, you know, and Luke said to that, but what if it's right? What if you're giving them the right stuff? They might not understand it right then, but they may later, and in the meantime, hopefully you've spared them some harm, which is seemingly a very noble thing here. And the last thing here, because talking about these worldviews here, and just about this this idea here, Richard Dawkins believes that it is child abuse to label a kid Christian, atheist, or anything, and I don't know, just supposed to just let him go. He thinks it's child abuse. I have the quote in my opening statement somewhere. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that here you have a guy who believes that it is just as much child abuse to raise a kid as any particular worldview as it is to physically and sexually and emotionally abuse them. To me, this it would be a good opportunity to see Dawkins put his money where his mouth is, and instead of backpedaling from that, be a little dangerous himself and say, yes, persecute the people who raise people as Christians or whatever. That would be a dangerous point of view. I would object, and it, to me, that would expose a lot of the problems of the worldview. But if you sincerely believe someone is being harmed, then you ought to do the dangerous thing and step into it. Now, I do believe I went over time, and I'm sorry. I don't get a timer. Scott, you're up. Okay.
Oh, boy. I think we got a little tangential there. Unfortunately, Richard Dawkins is not here at the debate. It'd be interesting if he were to speak for him. I just want to go back real briefly to the dangerous in a good way thing. Now, you guys keep saying that. I don't know what it means. Can you give me an example of how religion, don't give me like a metaphor again or another analogy about Batman, how religion is dangerous in a good way, and then explain to me how that is analogous to Batman or Fonzie. Johnny, or both of you guys, I guess, or all of us, I don't know. I don't understand. I think we're assuming that religion has to be like the root of all evil for it to be dangerous, or it has to be, I don't get what the mentality is. Does religion have to be the only thing that causes danger or causes harm? Is it's not a valid argument? Can't religion just be one of the things that can justify atrocities? I don't get the distinction. I listed a bunch of things earlier, and I felt like they weren't addressed. Jehovah's Witnesses will literally harm themselves. They will die if they can't, because they believe that they're not allowed to receive medical attention because it's against God's will. There's a huge AIDS epidemic in Africa because people are preaching that condoms are sins and evil, and so and that rule is being enforced, the no condom rule, and so we're having, I get that people do this, but explain to me how that Jehovah's Witness would have died, or would have made that decision to die, had that Jehovah's Witness not believed in their religion. If that religion never existed, explain to me how that Jehovah's Witness would have died. If you can't, then we've proven that person would be alive without religion. Therefore, the religion directly contributed to that person being harmed or dying. That's it. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
I suppose I should really let Luke or Tony respond to that now, but my turn's been a long time coming, so I'm gonna take it, because I've been wanting to say for quite a while. I hope it didn't seem like I was serious when I suggested that we could define religion as anything which is used to justify atrocities. I don't think of that as a good definition of religion. What I would like to say, to hopefully build on Scott's point, is this idea of good danger, bad danger. Okay, we've agreed that religion does good things. We've agreed that it can be used to justify very bad things. So far, we're not getting anywhere past what we could say about almost anything else in the world, any other ideology. What I want to say is, what we should be trying to do here is decide whether religion is dangerous like a gun. which mainly is used for doing harm, although it may do good things as well, as we've said, can be used to stop papers flying away. Or is it like a paperweight, mostly used for good things, holding papers down, occasionally, in some cases, used for causing harm when, you know, the secretary finally cracks, whams the boss over the head because he's asked her to take dictation for the fourth time that day. And to be honest, I don't think we're going to get an answer for that, because it's highly subjective. No major studies have been done, as far as I can tell, and it's going to come down to a matter of opinion. What we seem to have all said at one stage or another during this debate is, yes, religion is dangerous, although you guys want to say it's good dangerous, or it's dangerous, but it's good as well. So it seems to me like Scott and I have pretty much won. What would you say to that?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to take off pretty soon here. As I understood, I thought that this was getting over at 8 o'clock. And so I'm just going to try to wrap up a couple things. Unfortunately, there's been a bunch of things that have been brought against Tony's in my position right now, and I can't answer all of them. But here's one example of how religion is dangerous in a good way. Okay, so for example, you've got St. Peter, right? Peter in the New Testament, Jesus says, come follow me. He drops his fishing nets, which was his livelihood, and so he ends up dropping his entire livelihood, his entire occupation, to go follow Jesus and spreading the word, and he dies a martyr's death, right? So religion is dangerous in the fact that it has the power to take someone away from their occupation and dedicate them in a life style of some sort, right? I think we would say that's dangerous, and that's why social ideas are generally considered dangerous. But if religion is right, and he's espousing truths, which I think is really what this is about, whether or not Christianity is saying the truth, because if it is saying the truth, then I think we have to measure whether or not it's dangerous a little differently. But if religion is true, then it's doing a lot of good by sending Peter out and spreading the truth about the message that Christianity has to spread. And then just ending at the end there with Danny, with some of your ideas. Yeah, I think it's impossible to exactly measure whether or not religion contributes to more good than bad, because religions generally have a long list of good things as well as bad. But so does every other worldview, which again just brings me back to the point that what we're talking about here is human beings that use ideologies for good and bad. And to measure whether or not a religious, whether a religion is worse than another worldview, non-religious worldview, based on the number of good things or bad things it's done, I mean, it's just backwards. First of all, we can't actually measure that. Second of all, we're talking about basically human beings using an ideology to justify whatever they want. And we're not talking about what the actual religion is talking about, which in Christianity's case is that human beings are bad people and Jesus died for our sins. It's out there. I said it. That's what it's about. Now, you have to tell me whether or not that statement is dangerous in and of itself. And I don't know if we can determine whether it's dangerous unless we can determine whether or not it's a true statement. So this has been a lot of fun. Thank you very much, Tony, for inviting me to do this. And thank you very much, Danny and Scott. You guys have been great. And you've given us a lot to talk about. I admit that. But I don't think you've won at this point, because I still don't know whether or not we can determine whether religion is dangerous in a good way or a bad way, whatever that means. So yeah, thank you very much, Tony, and have a good evening.
We are going to take a break here and save our conversation. There are some people in the chat room who have been submitting some questions, and hang on a second here. That was annoying. Apparently it kind of worked over there, finally. So anyway, we'll take some of those questions. We'll give Luke a graceful way out here, and anyone else who needs to go. And then if anyone would like to stay a little bit longer, I might be inclined to do so. So if I could see those little speech bubbles go away, just turn them off for now. After I do the recording thing, you can still talk to me after I close the recording. So let's just, Scott, There we go. Okay. So we'll turn this off, and then as soon as I get done with recording, we can talk again. All right. So here we go. First, I say goodbye. And here it is.